Today's episode of The Tim Fowler Show is sponsored by LL Flooring. These are the floors homes are built on. Visit the experts at your local store or go to llflooring.com/pro to learn more.
Welcome to The Tim Fowler Show, where production is paramount and we discuss the tools, time, and people associated with getting jobs done and making a profit.
On today's episode of The Tim Fowler Show, we will be talking about the client's point of view with help of special guest Megan Haynes of Hercules Design Build in St. Louis, Missouri. Alongside Tim Fowler, I'm your co-host Steve Wheeler. Here is The Tim Fowler Show.
Hey everyone out there in podcast land, Tim Fowler here, and welcome to The Tim Fowler Show. So I've asked for ideas for the show for a long time. I've asked for clients that we could interview and talk to about their work with contractors. And today we're able to actually have one of those clients on the podcast. So have you ever gone through an entire job thinking that the client was delighted with your work? And then when you finally get to the end of it and you get that review, you find out that they liked most of it, but, and then I've got little dots on my paper and you can fill in the blank, but the plumber did this or but that, or, you know, whatever it is, you fill in the blank. So it's happened to all of us. And in many cases, we kind of stand back and go like, I don't understand. I thought everything was going so well. So the question stands, how do we ensure good customer satisfaction, or what some people call raving fans? Now, many of us have read books. I've read a lot of books on customer service and clients and things like that. We've been inspired by a lot of different stories. Maybe you've read some of those books where they're all allegorical, you know, and it's just amazing how every situation works out perfectly, kind of like a sitcom, where every problem is resolved in 30 minutes. When you stop and really think about it, very few real examples are out there about us as remodelers going into somebody's home, tearing apart a central area or some aspect of their home, like a kitchen, disrupting life, which is what we do. And what do they really feel like, right? What's going on in their head? And what makes the experience bearable, or if we even dare thinking about it, wonderful, right? So how do they really feel? So there's no better way to know that than to ask real clients. And so we were able to do this back in episode 48. And so today we have another client here to speak with us. Now, just some full disclosure, you probably heard in Steve's intro that Megan actually works for a remodeler, and but we wanted to have her on. She was a client before she worked for the remodeler, and so we wanted to have her on as the client, and we will try to have her back on to talk about this interesting relationship of a client going to work for a contractor. But today, it's about being a client, so we're gonna approach it from that perspective. So Steve, let's go ahead and get started.
All right. So Megan Haynes is the production coordinator for Hercules Design Build, or remodeling company in the St. Louis, Missouri area. She has been with the company for a little over a year and a half, but prior to coming on board as an employee, she was a client for three remodeling projects in her own home. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So this is very exciting. I hope you got it from my little intro there. I like real life. You know, I alluded to these books that, you know, are out there about business, and they paint a beautiful picture. And then, of course, everything resolves in a positive way. And they've got a lot of really good stuff. But I like to hear real stories that are going on. So this will be fun. So give us a little bit of idea about what your family life is like, your house, your dogs, cats, kids, whatever else, just so we can get a picture of you as a client.
So in our household, it's me, my husband, we have two kids, They are currently 8 and 15, but when we started remodeling a few years ago, they were about 4 and 11. And then at any given time, we have 2 to 3 elderly cats. Like, it's an old folks home for cats here. And that we live in, our house is almost 100 years old. It was built in the 20s. It's like a little Tudor cottage. We moved in about a year before we started remodeling. And so, you know, the challenges of an old home.
Yeah, yeah. I can almost picture, I've been to St. Louis a few times, and I can almost picture this house. So what were the projects that you had done by Hercules Remodeling?
So the first project we had done, we just jumped right in and did an addition. And this was the first time we ever really paid somebody else to do a remodel. In our previous house, we did everything ourselves. decided to just go all out. So we have an addition that is, it's kind of a multi-purpose. It's mudroom, main floor laundry, butler's pantry. There's a wet bar. It's kind of, it does a whole bunch. And then there's a deck on top. that's off of our master bedroom. So that was the first project. And there were other things that we did along with it. We had the stairwell and retaining wall to our walkout basement redone and power to the garage rerun, stuff like that. And then after that, we did both. We have 2 full baths and we had both of those remodeled. So the master and the main floor bath.
Okay. That's an experience, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those were 2 and 3. The bathrooms were 2 and 3. Okay, so they weren't done at the same time. They were done different times. Okay, so just go back to the first one. What, you know, as a client, what were your fears? You mentioned this the first time you hired somebody else. You'd mostly done little, I'm assuming, smaller things, you know, yourself, which a lot of homeowners do. What were some of the fears you had? And how did you pick the remodeler that you picked? What was it that got you ready to say, I'm ready to spend this much money with this contractor?
Yeah.
We won't ask you how much it was.
it was a little bit of money. I think that's the scariest thing is writing those big checks. So you really want to make sure that you've chosen the right person and the right company. The number one thing, I went and I talked to a realtor. I talked to other people that I knew who had big additions done. I got recommendations. I went online. I read reviews. I went to the Better Business Bureau site, all that stuff. And somebody who was really highly recommended to me never returned my emails. And so that was a hard no immediately. So just being responsive is a good place to start. And Dave Hercules, who runs Hercules, he was very responsive. And I asked him a million questions and I asked if I could see his work in person. And he arranged to have, he actually did a project for neighbors of his and he arranged for us to go over there and see that and check it out in person and talk to them. So that really helped to meeting an actual client. Also, Dave lives basically in my neighborhood, so I know where he lives. So I knew I could track him down. But he also lives in an old house that's kind of similar era to mine. He's worked on a lot of old homes. And this area of St. Louis, that's something people are really concerned about. They're always looking for somebody who knows how to deal with the municipality's government and knows how to deal with old homes. But also Dave and I just, we kind of hit it off. We just instantly had a good rapport and I knew that we would work well together.
What was it? What was it about the relationship? I mean, I guess what I'm looking for is like, what did he do that made it so you were comfortable? And because I think that in many cases, comfort through the whole job really starts right up front. And are you comfortable with the whole sales process? So what is there anything particular that you, I mean, other than the things you've already mentioned, that
it's hard to put your finger on because it is kind of like a soft skill. It's a little bit his personality, which you can't really replicate.
Right.
But Dave is not super salesy. You know, he never really ever tried to get us to do more or bigger or anything we couldn't afford.
Right.
But he's also pretty upfront about what's possible, and while still trying to give you everything that's on your must-have list. And we had crazy, like, I gave him so many crazy ideas. I was like, what if we put a loft in? How about this deck? What about this? And he was like, well, I'll see if I can make it work. So just being really open-minded.
Okay.
And being excited about our project.
Okay. So what was the experience like from the client's point of view, that very first job that you did? What are some of the things that happened that you said, wow, this is a great experience? I guess I'm trying to paint for others, if they could replicate the experience that you had, what would they have to do?
Well, a thing that Dave is pretty big on is making sure that he hires and surrounds himself with people that I think he would want to have work on his own home. And he has certain expectations for all the carpenters and all the subs about how they need to be communicative and personable with his clients, and they need to be clean, which every remodel is messy. They just are. You can't get rid of all the dust until months afterwards, but they do a really good job of trying to keep it to a minimum and trying not to disrupt you more than is necessary.
What kinds of things came out that showed you that he had hired the right people? What actions did they take that when you looked at them, you said, this is the right person. This is the person that reflects Dave. Was it the just politeness, or was it?
Definitely polite. They're definitely polite.
Okay.
His project managers are really communicative. You know, you can text them, you can email them, you can ask them questions. They'll let you know when they're going to be on site, or if there's going to be a break in work, when that's going to be and why. Also just the quality of the work. You know, when I would come home and I would look and see what had been done, and it just looked so good and it was sturdy and it was right. You can tell, you know?
Okay. All right.
And if something wasn't right, I could be like, hey, this isn't quite right. And it would get fixed.
Cool.
With no issues.
Yeah. Good. Well, we're going to take quick break for a sponsor check here. So LL Flooring offers over 400 floors in both the latest styles and timeless looks, from hardwood and laminate to waterproof flooring. There's a floor for any style and every budget. Visit the experts at your local store or go to llflooring.com/pro. These are the floors homes are built on. So Megan, you had the luxury of not having a bad experience with a contractor beforehand. So did you go through that common checklist that a lot of the websites tell you, you know, always get three estimates? You know, however, you know, there's a lot of different ways that they suggest that people pick contractors, but you probably heard all the horror stories. So
yeah.
How did you go? What was your, did you go through the normal checklist, or it's when you met Dave, you were hooked?
I started off going through the checklist, you know, and check, you know, like I said, I read reviews and I looked at the Better Business Bureau and I did all of that stuff. But honestly, after I had contacted a couple people and, you know, the one didn't ever respond, and then I met Dave, I was like, I have a good feeling about this, which I don't know if I was giving professional advice, I would tell people not to do that. Like, take your intuition into account, but still get like three estimates. But I just knew. I was like, this is the guy. He's going to do the job the way I want it done. And
that's great.
That's cool. So I'm going to ask you to maybe expose a flaw or two here, if you didn't wouldn't mind. But one of the big challenges that companies have all over the country is the discrepancy between the expectations that a client has from the sales process and then production team actually living out those expectations, and whether the client develops them themselves or sales creates the expectations. But did you have any of that kind of experience where you thought it was going to be one way and then it went another way? And then if you did, how did they resolve those kinds of things?
But I can't think of any glaring examples where things just didn't meet expectations. Every project has had a little something where I'm like, oh, that's not quite right, or that's not how I pictured it. Or you come across something in the middle of the project like, oh, because this weird thing about your old house is something we couldn't have known until we tore this down. Now we have to do this thing, you know? So I think I might not be a typical client in that I go with the flow. You know, I expect good results, but I also know that when you're dealing with humans and old houses, you're going to have surprises.
Okay.
So I think a thing that is really helpful though in those situations is when you hit a snag from the contractor perspective, when you have to tell the client, oh, we think we hung your wall hung toilet a couple inches too low because we forgot that there's floor heat. Just have a solution ready when you tell them the thing that is messed up. And Dave's guys are pretty good about that. They were with me and we still try to do that. So I think that's helpful to be like, okay, we have a problem, but we have a solution.
Right. Being able to bring that solution out. Was there anything that you found that you felt like they didn't notice ahead of time? Because that tends to be where you're finding it and they don't seem to know about it. Tends to be one of those places where clients start to lose that trust or start to lose that easygoingness that can happen.
There were little things, you know, like I came home and I was like, I think that outlet's not where it's supposed to be.
Okay.
I'm like, I don't think that's going to be accessible once we put this furniture here. Little things like that. And they were still fixable when I found them. And I didn't really get upset. I think I always remembered, you know, you've got your person who designed the project and the carpenters who work for him. And then you have your subs, and ideally you would have perfect communication, but it's impossible. So little things do get lost in translation sometimes. And as long as it could be fixed, which it always could be, I was happy.
So you mentioned the project managers, and if there's like one thing that they did really, really well, what would that be that just made you this fan of the company? Obviously you did three projects and now you work for them. So it's like, what might be like if project managers all over the country could say like, if I can do that, at least for this client, then that would be a winner.
I think there's probably two things. One is communication, just always letting the client know what's going on, what's happening this week, what snags we've hit, how we're going to deal with them, all that stuff. Also, I had the same project manager pretty much for all three of my projects, Ryan. And Ryan is very particular about his subs and their work. And that was very clear. And that made me feel really comfortable because I knew that he wasn't going to let them do anything less than what he would expect for himself.
So how did you know he was very particular with the subs? What was communicated to you where you as the client went like, I don't have to worry about these subs. Brian's got it under control.
Some of it was unspoken. You like after working with him a little bit, it's just his personality and you can pick up on that. He's just a very exacting person.
Right.
One of the things that I asked him to do, because when we did our audition, he wasn't project managing yet, but he was still like in the field doing a lot of the work hands-on. And we have an exposed brick wall. And I was like, I just want you to do kind of like a whitewash, really imperfect. And I could tell that that really hurt Ryan when I asked him to do something imperfectly. So I like that is a thing that very early on I was like, oh yeah, he's a perfectionist. Yeah. And some of it was also spoken though, you know, he would tell me like, oh, we found this new tile guy and we tried a couple and they did not live up to my standards.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things that project managers have, some of us have to we have to force ourselves to communicate that because maybe we aren't as exacting as some people are naturally. But it definitely puts the client at ease if they feel like we've got it, you know, under control. So anything particular that the contractor did that just made this disruption a little more bearable, especially like when the bathrooms were being done, anything particular they did that just said like, wow, this is easier than I thought it might be?
I can't think of anything specific that was out of the ordinary, but they definitely leave time at the end of the day to clean up after themselves and try to keep the area that they're working on kind of separate as much as possible from the rest of the house, you know, and try to disrupt you as little as possible. And just kind of the general things that you would expect, but not everybody does.
Okay, cool.
Megan, what was the communication schedule that they used? So did you have a weekly meeting? Did you have email? Did you have a technology? What did you use?
So at the time that I hired them, they were much smaller and we hadn't figured out all those processes yet. So we didn't have a formal one, but it was very, very easy to get a hold, like to text Ryan and he would text me to give me updates or to email. Right now, especially on our bigger jobs, we do have a weekly meeting with the project manager and the client. And smaller jobs, it's a little bit, we play it a little bit more by ear, but I think we all have really improved. They were already good, but I think we've really improved trying to systematize our communication.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got just a couple of more things here that as we wind, is there anything about it, the experience that you would like to have changed?
I had really good experiences and the results are really good. I can't really think of anything that I would change. I'm the type of person though that I look at stuff and because when I came to Dave, I had all my selections made, which is very unusual. That's not typical. That's just how I am. And there are things I personally am like, maybe I would have done a different countertop or, you know, stuff like that. But that's a me thing, not a them thing.
Okay. Okay.
You do sound like a great client.
Yeah. Everybody's going to want to work for you. So, all right. So we, you know, typically our listeners are contractors or production people that are out there all over the country, Canada, a few overseas as well. But like, what kind of advice would you give them and the remodelers that are out there about working with clients? What just kind of general thing, and then we'll wrap this up.
Communication, like we've already covered, is really important. Managing expectations, I think, is important. I think I had pretty realistic expectations That is not always the case. And it can be a little tricky. You have to be diplomatic sometimes. But I think if you do that from the beginning, things will be better in the end. And especially like now with COVID and shipping crazy and supply chains are crazy. So managing expectations up front is very helpful.
Is there anything particular, again, about how to do that? Is that all about just telling the truth, or is it asking a lot of questions, or how do you do? I mean, I've got an idea about how I might do that, but I'm kind of curious from the client's perspective, you know, how does a contractor manage their expectations? Because that is a big deal.
It's probably a combination of both telling the truth and asking questions. Sometimes people they know what they want, but they don't know what they want, or they don't know how to get there. So sometimes it's about asking questions, especially about how they're going to use the space and how they want it to feel, I think, that are really important for the design team. And maybe asking questions about how they expect the production part to go.
Right.
You know, because some people are like, they really want it to be absolutely, completely dustless. And it's like, well, we could do that, but it's going to take 2 times as long. You know?
You can't just say, oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. Like that, you know, the Venn diagram where it's like cheap, fast, and good.
Yeah.
I think that kind of sums up. That is a thing that needs to be communicated diplomatically.
Okay, good. Well, this has been really cool, Megan. I really appreciate your coming on and giving us some feedback on how things have gone there. And be thinking about how we can talk about what it's like for a client to work, you know, for the contractor that they used. Did you just do that so you could get some free work on your house?
No, there's nothing left to do.
Too late.
I always tell everyone, I'm like, I hired Dave, and now I'm making back all that money I gave him.
There you go. What a good idea. What did you do before you went to work for Dave?
So immediately before I went to Dave, I actually worked in public schools. But before that, I did many, many years of retail management.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So that's
it's very weird.
Probably gives you a little bit of flexibility. That retail management stuff gives you, you know, it's like, I can be a little bit flexible here. So, Well, this has been great. Thank you again, Megan. And we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Megan. Take care. Tim, another fantastic episode on getting that feedback from the other side, you know, that how can we always have consistently great clients is what we're always looking for, those great relationships with clients. And this gives us even more insight to work on,
You know, it's interesting what you just said, how can we have great clients? And I think we have to shift our thinking and forget about trying to make them great, but us be great at some things. And it's probably no big surprise that communication came up quite a bit. And unfortunately, communication is not just 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you're done. You know, communication is about a whole bunch of different things. And Megan alluded to, you know, personality, to just, he's just good at it. And I kind of jumped in and commented that, you know, sometimes those of us who are not just good at it have to learn how to be good at various times, and particularly when we're working with clients, because we have to convey that. I mean, the big thing, like that exacting personality, we have to convey that. If we ever convey like, hey, that's good enough, then the client's going to pick up on that. And that's probably when they start counting nails and you know, using the blue tape and, you know, all that kind of thing when they don't feel like we're watching out for them.
Yeah. And how do you feel that that's communicated from the beginning, salesperson to production? How can things be gathered? I think listening is a huge part of all this too.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, the sales to production handoff, one of the things that I've been stressing, and I don't think anybody does it very well, although I don't sit in every meeting, but very seldom in that handoff meeting is there a section that says, these are the expectations that the client has, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because production, and then production doesn't say, well, tell me what the client's expecting. They just go like, the footers are going to be 42 inches deep and the walls are 2x6s and the roof is a 12-12 pitch. You know, that's what they're focused on versus who is that client. So that's a big part of it. I think just as far as the detailed stuff, just always watching it, you know, and not letting anything slide. I've told the story a number of times. You know, you go into a job and there's a stud that's nailed on the wrong side of the X. And it's always, it's obvious that it's wrong.
Yeah.
If you leave that for the client to see for the next day, you're sunk. Even though you're going to fix it, you know it's there. You're going to fix it. As soon as they see that, it's one of those distrust marks. And so apparently the project manager, Lee Carpenter, that worked for Megan did a great job of making sure that she knew that he was taking care of anything that she needed.
And all of this falls into place when you look at, you mentioned something that I think seems obvious, but it may be, certain people may hesitate when you say, tell the truth, be honest, right? Well, that's a part of setting expectations. You can be honest the whole way through. If at the very beginning you say, this is messy, or, you know, this is quite a process and we're day to day here. We got a million moving parts. One of those parts is going to be out of place one day. Just want you to know that, but we have an eye on it the whole time. So the expectations, and then you talked about communication, and then the other C word is consistency. Yeah. You have to communicate the whole way through. When you stop, that's when the things build up. That's when the people start to fester.
The other thing that I thought was interesting was just having a good reputation on all fronts, Better Business Bureau, web, you know, all the different places where somebody, there's so many more now than there used to be. Right?
Oh yeah.
And I think she didn't say it directly, but just having that good reputation on all those fronts made a big difference. And then of course, the thing that we hear over and over and over again is call them back.
You know, and I meant to tell you that when I first started in business, I met a guy who owned a big plumbing company. And all he said, I have one piece of advice, answer your phone.
Yeah.
And I said, that is too simple. And then I just went a couple of years, I go, that's the greatest advice ever. Because to me, it just seemed easy. Yeah. But, you know, hey, things happen and you think you can't handle the work, just listen, just pick up the phone.
And then you take it all the way down, and for the project manager, it isn't just pick up the phone, but it's respond to the concerns of the client. Respond, make sure you're engaged with them in a way that gets them working for you.
Well, this was really fantastic. And once again, we want to thank Megan Haynes for joining us again today. And we want to thank all of you for listening to another episode of The Tim Fowler Show.
And remember, at The Tim Fowler Show, we're working hard to eliminate "it is what it is" from your vocabulary.
This has been another episode of The Tim Fowler Show. Want to hire Tim and fast track your growth? Visit remodelersadvantage.com/consulting to learn more. And if you'd like more information about roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program, please send me an email at steve@remodelersadvantage.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.